At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone! Cassis does it again! It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, strike three, it's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
What's up? Welcome back to Playtesty. It's episode 216. This is the official Red Sox podcast of WEI. Before we get going, hit that subscribe button, rate 5 stars. Find us on WEI's YouTube channel. Subscribe there as well. And we got the Playtesty playlist there. It has all of our videos, and hit the thumbs up there. Find us on all the socials at Playtesty on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. It's Gordo here. Sammy's in Italy. Pat's here with me. And yeah, this team is bad right now. Like, we've kind of been beating around the bush a little bit on it for a while, because and the conversations have more so been, is it too early to make rash declarations about the team? But I mean, and it has a lot to do with how the team's playing right now, but it also has a lot to do with the roster that we're now seeing on the field as a result of injuries. And let me get this out there right now. The injuries should not, and it, to me, will not be used as an excuse for how they've performed, because this team was a 500 team before the injuries. This team was a 500 team before Alex Bregman went down. Yes, they're hurt, but they played like crap before they got hurt, and it was not an excuse for why they were two under 500, but it is certainly reason to be less optimistic going forward. But to me, Pat, I said, I think, last episode with Sammy, so I don't know if you were here for this one, but what I said was I was getting close to the point in time where I might need to change my expectations for what I thought this team was capable of, and maybe just enter games with the mindset of, hey, if they win, they win, and that's great, but I'm not sitting here expecting like an 89 to 93 win team anymore. Like, I need them to show me that they're capable of that before I anoint them. And I said it because we fell victim to what a lot of fan bases fall victim to, which is when your team has a good offseason, you want to just say they're going to do these things when actually you've never seen these guys do anything like that before. And it's obviously never been more evident now than when looking at these lineups, and like half the lineup is rookies and second year players. So as right now, as we record, they're 2.5 out. So they're not mathematically screwed right now, but you watch the games, they do not play like a 500 team. You look at the lineups they put on the field right now, without Bregman, without Costas, as much as everyone wants to say that, oh, Costas was a bum, whatever. Like, yeah, the ceiling of your team is significantly lower with Costas out for the year and Bregman out for probably half of the remaining games. So, yeah, when they finished the game today, when Connor Wong made the final out of the game today, which obviously having Connor Wong up in that spot, crushed. It sucked. When that game ended, my thought process was, oh my God, this thing is about to go down the tubes fast, and we are going to have to record 3 episodes a week talking about a team that maybe is entering a sell-off at the trade deadline. And then after that, we're going to have to talk 3 times a week about a team that season is over and we're just waiting for the offseason. And I'll tell you, to me, it just, I take it as like a personal offense when I put so much, and I think I speak for you, Pat, I speak for Sammy's not here, and I speak for Joe producing. We put so much into this, into not just watching the games, but preparing ourselves to talk about it and be confident in our beliefs, our takes, have stats prepared, tweeting. Like, I like the Red Sox, I swear, it sounds crazy, but they control my mood because they are such a giant part of my life. And so when I put this much time into it and energy and all of that, when they play like this and when they score 4 runs in a 3-game span, like, I do take it as a personal offense. I do. It kills me. I cannot bear to think about another season that could be lost months ahead of the end. But if they continue down this road, like, they're 7 out of the division. The division's gone. Like, we're thinking wild card. And even that, with how they're playing and the roster that's on the field, and I don't give a shit if they call up Roman Anthony. Obviously, I want them to do it, and we're going to talk about how they can do that and why they should do that. Pat, I'm assuming you think he should be up here too.
Yeah.
But they're not a Roman Anthony away from being a competitive team right now. They are a lot more than a Roman Anthony, even if he plays up to his peak. They are a long ways away from being the competent team that is capable of making the playoffs. So yeah, right now, I'm pissed, man. I'm pissed, and I really do take it as an offense that this is the product that we have yet again.
Yeah, I think one thing you said that's true is they've lost all, like, benefit of the doubt. Like, they're beyond the point of, like, oh, this roster's really good, Cora's a great manager. Like, they're going to figure it out. And the injuries do not play a factor in that. Like, the Bregman one, like, obviously decreases the likelihood of them kind of hitting a stride. But it wasn't like they were 5 over when Casas got hurt and that's caused them to sputter. Or they were, you know, 4 over and Bregman got hurt. No, they've been a 500 team the entire season, not as a result of any injury. On paper, a healthy roster going into the year, they were supposed to be good. That being said, no one saw Tristan blowing his knee out. No one saw Bregman likely missing, you know, 5 to 7 weeks or so. No one saw, everyone I think could agree that Tanner was going to take some form of step back. He's not literally playable right now. He is so bad. The bullpen has been good, but this part in the not having a first baseman on the roster, this falls squarely on Breslow. Because all offseason, up through spring training, everyone, you need one more arm, you need one more arm, you need one more arm. And now we've crossed the 1/3 mark in the season. They have Whitlock, Slayton, and Chapman all on track for over 60 appearances. Most teams have one of those.
Yeah.
That is an absurd usage rate. Never mind the fact that almost every time Whitlock does it, he's going 2 innings. So you're an arm short. You're probably a number 2 in the rotation short. You're now with Bregman out, you're a corner infielder short, and you have to play Trevor Story. So that's just where you're at.
People aren't talking about that enough, by the way, Pat, is that no one benefits from this Bregman injury. Like, everyone thinks, oh, Marcelo got a shot. No one benefits more than Trevor Story. That guy's got to be throwing like a Memorial Day cookout party for the amount of runway he's about to maybe get here. And if he loses his job with Bregman out, then that just shows you how little belief they have in him. But who else is he going to play?
Exactly. And the thing that, like, truly sucks is once Bregman's back, there is such a beautiful kind of way for Trevor to kind of, like, go out the back door. That's a month and a half away. You're talking
at
about...
At least, dude. You're at talking, least. Probably yeah, more.
You're talking about 40 baseball games where Marcelo is your third baseman, Story is your shortstop, Campbell is your second baseman, and then first base is Toro Sogard. And then whenever Roman comes up, yes, like it'll be the same as Marcelo. Like, it's an exciting thing. It's a needed kind of, my big thing, and we'll get to it, but the whole like Roman thing, you just lost Bregman, who's an MVP candidate. No one is disputing that. This guy's batting 300. He was everything and everything you hope for when you signed up for $40 million a year.
More.
You lost that. You lost Casas. So now in your everyday lineup as currently constructed, you have one of Abraham Toro and Nick Sogard and Sedan Rafaela. Both of those spots in the lineup right now, and Story. Three of your nine hitters are just black holes offensively. That being said, three of the six remaining spots are rookies. Good rookies, don't get me wrong. I know Campbell's obviously in a huge cold streak.
But that's right there, Pat, though. Like, yes, they're good rookies, but this is why you can't win with three, yes, four, or five rookies in your lineup, because this is just the life of a rookie, man. Like, Christian Campbell, incredibly talented player, but these are the struggles that rookies go through. And you're going to see it with Marcelo. You're going to see it with Narvaez. And when Roman comes up, you're going to see it with him too.
Yeah. And like the other third of the lineup, the remaining three spots are Duran, who's regressed. He's been better lately, for sure.
He's crushed it lately.
A little bit.
Give him his props. He has crushed it lately.
Devers has been nothing short of great. And then Willier, who's incredibly streaky. So you're now talking about three holes in the lineup that are legitimately like don't even hit. Like, don't even go into the dugout. You have three more that they're going to ebb and flow. There's no guarantee between Narvaez, Marcelo, and Christian, as there shouldn't be. They're rookies. No one's expecting them to, you know, be world beaters their rookie year. And then the three hitters that you kind of have to rely on, one is regressed, one is very hot and cold, and then one is obviously Rafael Devers. So that being said, you're now reaching a point, if you want to get not even like a catapult or like the answer, just a chance to turn the corner, you have to maximize the offense. And that starts with Roman Anthony. Then on the flip side, you kind of have pitching wise what you're going to have until the deadline. Crochet's been unreal. Bueller's been good. He hasn't been, you know, a stud. He has been a number two. He's not going super deep into games. Giolito is the most hot or cold pitcher I've ever seen in my life. Brian Bello sucks. That I'm saying it point blank. Brian Bello has not sniffed act like the sixth inning. He has no strikeout pitch. That changeup is gone. There is nothing there. He is fastball, sinker, slider, and he can't control the slider. Then you have Hunter Dobbins, who, again, rookie. No one's expecting him to step into that number two hole. He's been fine.
But he can't go deep. That's the issue, though. Yeah, that's, again, with rookies, like, this is, we've seen this with Red Sox rookie pitchers for years now, dating back to Houken 21 and Cutter Crawford more recently. Like, these guys come up and they show you all this talent, but third time through, it's not the same.
And then the other thing too, and like, I'm not even going to say like, it's a positive, but it's not going to be a huge difference maker, is the one guy who is consistently eating innings might be starting tomorrow, in Richard Fitz. So,
yeah, we'll see what happens.
You know what I mean? So the rotation, aside from Crochet, is literally like league average, if not worse. Like,
and then they don't score runs for Crochet.
Like, and they don't score runs for Crochet. You don't get innings out of any of the four after Crochet, which then leads to Whitlock, Slayton, Chapman.
That's the 60 appearance guys.
Burned.
Yeah.
Yep. Burned. Then you have like guys you can't. Greg Weissert, I left him out of this. He gave up a home run yesterday as we're recording on Monday night. But it's like, he's been very good this whole year. That is a guy I feel comfortable with. Whatever. Bernie, been great. Justin Wilson's been very good too.
No, like the individual guys, like the bullpen all of a sudden went from probably the most scrutinized part of the Red Sox team to probably now the most, I mean, stable might not be the right word, because these guys are going to get burned out in like faster than they were last year.
They're showing some form of consistency.
They're good pitchers. If they could be used at a realistic rate that could keep them healthy and fresh, like they would be a pretty good group.
Yeah, but Bernie, I think, has pitched 10 of the last 15, 11 of the last 15. Like, it's not feasible over 162 game season. And for all the people who are like, oh, They're just wasting away. Luis Guerrero, you shut up. You shut your mouth. He sucks.
I can't. Luis Guerrero, there's potential there, and he could be a high leverage guy in the future. Agreed. He's not a high leverage guy today. And I agree. Like, he has a 7 FIP in the minors. Pat, I want to go back to the offense though, because that right there is where my frustrations have lied. Honestly, I don't know. I've gone up and down with what's pissed me off the most about this team throughout the year, but right now it's certainly the offense. And my head goes back to in spring training at the end when reporters were trying to figure out the lineup. We're at that point in spring training where, like, okay, we can ask Alex Cora what the lineup's going to be. And Cora was willing to give them a top five. He's like, 6, 7, 8, 9. We'll see. You know, like, I don't know about that yet. But the top five, I'll tell you what the top five is. It's Duran, Devers, Bregman, Casas, Story. Bregman, gone. Casas, gone. Story. Might as well be gone. Like, you either get nothing from him or he might get benched at some point. I see people still calling for his job on Twitter. I question at this point, like, who's going to take his job? Like, unless you're willing to get freaky with the third. I put out a couple of dream lineups and against right-handers, I didn't have Story in there. But to do that, I had to kind of get freaky with third base. And I put David Hamilton over there, and people rightfully pointed out that guy has not played third base. But, like, that's the question is, what would you rather have against right-handed pitching? Story at short and Marcelo at third, or Marcelo at short and Hamilton at third? It's like, it's kind of a pick your poison, because I agree. I don't love the idea of a guy who doesn't play the position playing the position. But if Story's been that bad, like, you have to get aggressive. And this is why people want Roman called up, is because at this point, like, throwing the lineup that you threw out there today, doing that again tomorrow, you're going to get the same result. It's not good enough. And even with Roman, it's probably not good enough.
There is an avenue, and it sounds like they'd be open to exploring it based on what Cora said before they called up Marcelo. There is an avenue where you can get Roman up here, and it's an outfield of Roman, Duran, Willier, and an infield of Marcelo, Sedan.
I want to stop you right there. I knew you were going to say that. What value does Sedan give you as an infielder? He's a average to below average infielder, and he's a significantly below average hitter. At that point, why not play just play David Hamilton, who gives you speed, he gives you good defense at second base, he can go on streaks hitting. Like, this is the issue with Sedan. Like, your three best outfielders are Willier Abreu, Jaron Duran, and Roman Anthony.
Yep.
If your issue is Sedan needs to get at bats, then do it in AAA.
Yeah.
Like, it sucks because I don't feel like he deserves to get optioned. I'm not sitting here saying that he is so big a piece of this problem that he should get optioned. He's a special defender, and he's been great on the bases, and you can see it on the Savant page. He's 98th, 99th percentile in both of those things. But it really just is such a, like, you have to look at the team around these guys. Like, go back to 2018. The Red Sox had a, for the most part, defense-only center fielder in Jackie Bradley Jr., but that lineup was able to sustain it because you had two MVP candidates in the middle, plus a couple more perennial all-stars around there as well. Like, the top half of the lineup, plus, like, the Mitch Moreland-Steve Pierce platoon, which is basically an all-star-worthy platoon, and Mitch Moreland, I think, was an all-star in 2018. So, like,
he was.
So you had all-stars at the top of that lineup that could sustain the offense. You can afford to have defense at the bottom. In this lineup, today they had Carlos Narvaez and Christian Campbell hitting 3 and 4, right? Or was Christian hitting 5? No, Willier hit 5. They had Narvaez and Campbell hitting 3 and 4, and Narvaez was the backup catcher entering the year, and Christian Campbell is still knee-deep in his biggest slump as a baseball player. I was going to say as a professional. Surely it's the biggest slump of his baseball career, his baseball life. So, yeah, this lineup cannot sustain a defense-only center fielder when you've got a good, like, an all-around, like, it's like Roman Anthony is some, like, if Yoshida was going in the outfield in this scenario, that's one thing. But your outfield defense is still going to be Roman in left, Duran in center, Abreu in right, which is still going to be one of the better defensive outfield units in baseball. And meanwhile, you've got Roman Anthony in the lineup over Sedan Rafaela, and granted, yes, he's a rookie, so you don't know what you're going to get, but the ceiling is, it's like 10x. It's not even close.
Yeah, and I think the big thing too is, I tweeted it yesterday, but the drop off defensively with an outfield of Roman, Duran, and Willier compared to Duran, Sedan, and Willier is not drastic enough to justify Sedan being in the lineup.
Exactly.
It's just not. Jaron was a perfectly fine, I would argue above average, defensive center fielder last year. He's hitting so poorly.
Who?
He's not Sedan.
Oh, Sedan. I thought you were saying Jaron. Yes. He's one for his last 22.
And he is not the type where you're like, oh, he's going to work out of it. He's not that kind of hitter. Like, it's not like Willier. Like, Willier has like gained my respect in that sense, where like May's been rough, but I also know what he's capable of.
And with
like,
Willier, you see the approach, you see the hard hit metrics, you see the launch angle, you see his pulling the ball in the air percentages. Like, everything points to like, yeah, every player is going to go through ups and downs. It's fucking baseball. Like, yes, Willier will be quote unquote streaky, and yeah, he's gone through a tough patch, but everything points to he's going to be okay. Whereas Sedan, like, you see, he's so confusing because he'll swing at two pitches in the other batter's box and then get into an 0-2 count, and then he starts kind of taking some pitches. But at that point, like, you're already in a two strike count. Like, you can't afford, like, he's not going to get his pitch, and pitchers know they don't have to give him his pitch in the first two pitches of an at bat. So he never really gets his pitch unless a pitcher makes an obvious mistake. He doesn't get ahead in counts. Yeah. Joe?
I think just one very realistic example of this. I think it was either the Saturday or the Sunday game. And the situation was as clear as day for Sedan to bunt. And he swings at the first pitch. And
he missed the sign, right?
Yeah. And no, that was I think a couple he missed of weeks. Sign. That was a couple of weeks ago, I think. but again, another example how we're debating which scenario it is. But it was a scenario where he was probably told to bunt. He decides to swing, and then he decides to start bunting. And then obviously he bunts it foul, which means he has to swing away. So,
right.
And we are kind of seeing glimpses that, like, you know, Sedan wasn't in today's lineup in the opener against Milwaukee. So that's clearly a move by, I don't know if it's Cora and the entire coaching staff. But
well, Joe, remember, they said they were going to give Trevor Story a few days off, and then he only had one day off, and it was to get Sedan out of the lineup. So to your point.
Yeah.
Right. So it's just the idea of, I do think this is now Alex Cora sort of saying, enough waiting around. It's time to rip the Band-Aid off, and these kids need to start learning the lesson. Because I think it was, I don't know who reported it, but the idea was like, Cora goes out there and has the guys sort of just like learn on their own, you know, learn on the fly. But now he has to step in sort of like the angry parent, you know, waving their finger or whatever, being like, you have to listen to me. You have to do this.
Yeah. And I think the big thing too is like with Sedan, it's the defense is so incredibly good. The base running is so incredibly good. He's not Story levels of bad at the plate right now, but you do have to know your role. Like, you have to know your, like, you're not a power hitter. You're not a 300 hitter. Like, the instance that Joe brought up the other day, I was listening to that game on the radio. I forget where I was going, but Will and Will were like, this is for sure a bunt situation. Take the first pitch and lay a bunt. He swings at a ball, then fouls the bunt. And it's just like the one productive thing you could have done offensively today, you fucked up.
Yeah.
And that's just how it feels with Sedan every time.
But here's the thing.
He gets down into 0-2 counts. And then, I guess you could say puts up good at bats in 0-2 counts.
Sometimes.
But he doesn't get hits. Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, because when you get yourself an 0-2 counts, it's like you see the stats. Oh, 1 versus 1-0, it's ridiculous. Like the amount of the gap in OPS from when guys go down 1-0 or go up 1-0 to go down 0-1, it's drastic. And I don't want to make this like the crap on Sedan fest, because I actually think he's had, by all means, like if you go up and down the lineup and look at guys, where could you have reasonably expected them to be, and where are they actually? Like, Duran, below expectation. Devers, good. Bregman, good. Casas was below expectation, then got hurt. Story, significantly below expectation. Abreu, above expectation. Narvaez, above expectation. Rafaela, I would say probably above my expectation. And that just kind of shows you how low the bar was for me, because he has a 602 OPS, but the defense and the base running have been good enough where he actually is on pace to have like a 3.5-4 WAR season, which again, it's crazy to say that a guy with that potential, if he plays every day, say that guy should get optioned. But again, like you can't just look at it blankly as WAR. Like you have to look at it, what does the team need? And this team needs any sort of potential offensively. And Roman, like you've seen some rookies do some pretty special things the last few years. Like last year in the National League, what Jackson Merrill was able to do. Like if the Red Sox could add, like imagine, like yes, if the Red Sox, the way they're constructed right now, if they added Jackson Merrill to the lineup, they still would not be a good enough offense. But it wouldn't be this. Like we would not be getting 4 runs in a 3-game span against some of the worst pitch. Like they faced the Orioles with, who's it? Dean Kramer with a 5.5 ERA. Trevor Rogers, who was so bad that he couldn't even crack the Orioles rotation up until this point and had a 7-something ERA in the minors. And I forget the motherfucker's name from today. He's having a pretty good season, but he's a journeyman. He's 29 years old for the Brewers. You're not facing like Freddie Peralta, who's coming in.
That would be the legendary Chad Patrick.
Chad fucking Patrick, whoever the fuck that is. Like, seriously. Chad fucking Patrick. Like, we're not facing Freddie Peralta here, man. Like, it's Chad Patrick. And you guys aren't scoring. Like, you have – and it just pisses me off because they can make these moves and it's still not going to be good enough. And that's kind of what drives me nuts and, like, kind of what led to my opening remarks where I was like, I just don't know. Like, it feels like we're heading to the point where we're going full speed ahead in torpedo form to a trade deadline where they're going to end up selling off pieces and we're going to have to be doing these podcasts 3 times a week talking about – a team that's already basically eliminated, waiting to get to the offseason, where this offseason was fascinating to talk about because the Red Sox were clearly going to do things. Next offseason, like especially it's not going to be this crazy offseason. Like we're going to basically be saying, okay, like let's get these kids to year two. Marcelo Meyer, Christian Campbell, Roman Anthony, Carlos Narvaez, get those guys to year two. Get Tristan Casas back and healthy. See what he can do. Get Bregman. Hopefully he opts in and you get him back. Like, that's what we're going to be talking about. Like, I want this team to win right now. It is time for this team to win right now. And we see teams with subpar roster. Like, go look at the Cleveland Guardians lineup and tell me, like, they win games. The Kansas City Royals, the Sox faced them. That lineup, not that spectacular. They win games. And I get it. They do it on pitching. I get it. And the Red Sox don't have good enough pitching to do that right now. But these teams with subpar rosters find ways to win and sometimes do it without their best players. Like, there's no reason the Red Sox shouldn't be able to do that too. They have all the resources to do it, but does any part of me believe that they're going to have this renaissance turnaround? Right now, no. I don't think that. I don't.
Yeah, and I think the big thing in terms of the whole Roman discussion is he's a spark. Like, it lengthens your lineup, which you desperately need right now after losing Bregman. It's just what you need. And this isn't me saying, like, Roman's some form of savior, but he is by far an upgrade offensively. No one can dispute that. Even his floor is better than Sedan right now. And that's what you need to get this offense going in some aspects. Like, I'm not saying Roman's going to come in here, hit 300, finish the year with, 22 home. Like, I'm not saying that. But he plays average to above average defense, and he is a capable, competent bat. He has a major league eye. Like, the offense needs to get going. Yeah, the pitching's an issue. You don't really have an internal fix for that right now. You don't. You do have an internal fix for this putrid offense, and his name is Roman Anthony. But no matter how you cut it up,
it's like 30% of what's needed.
There's an internal upgrade, I should say. There's an internal upgrade to the offense, not necessarily the pitching staff. So you do what you have to do. Like, you're beyond the point of the feel out. We just crossed the 1/3 mark of the season. There's no more, oh, let's see what we have. This is what you have. Situations are fluid.
It's Memorial Day, dude. That's like quarter. Yeah. That's the day that everyone says that's the day you're allowed to say you know what you have. I think we've known what we have for a while, but this is the day where it's like you can say it.
And like, situations are fluid. Like when you had Tristan, who was not good, but he was there. When you had Tristan and Bregman healthy, yeah, you could kind of rationalize, keep Roman down, Sedan in center field. Both those guys are gone. Story is floundering. Campbell's ice cold. we're now in a fluid situation where you need offense. You have to make hard decisions. Alex Cora, this is why you're paid so much money. It's to break bad news and make tough decisions. The answer for this current conundrum, or answer to lengthening your lineup, increasing the offensive output, it's Roman Anthony. And like, I love Sedan. He's a phenomenal outfielder, but you're beyond the point of kind of letting him get his footing. We're past.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Attention sports enthusiasts, keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
Question for our listeners: which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint: it's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Pass that.
Can I reread you a potential lineup? It's based.
Oh, please.
I put it out there yesterday, and I'll make an adjustment because, okay, fine. I probably shouldn't have put David Hamilton at third. I can put my hand up. Probably shouldn't have done that. I'm just dreaming. Because another factor here is the Red Sox can deepen this lineup even more if Rafael Devers would play first base. And I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think it will, but I mean, he's got to be just as fucking sick of losing as we are. And God, man, he lives it. I mean, I talk about us putting all the time and effort and energy into this. Like, the guys who play the games put in infinitely more than we do. So, like, yeah, Rafi Devers, you're wasting prime years, man. And here's an opportunity for you to give yourself some protection in this lineup, lengthen your lineup, and add some talent to it. Here's what I got. And this is with Bregman out. And when Bregman comes back, which hopefully he comes back at some point, you can add him into this. All right. Leading off, Duran in center field. Batting second, Rafael Devers at first base. Batting third, Willier Abreu in right field. Batting fourth, Christian Campbell at second base. Batting fifth, Roman Anthony in left field. Batting sixth, Carlos Narvaez catching. Batting seventh, Masataka Yoshida as the DH. Batting eighth, Marcelo Meyer at third base. Batting ninth, Trevor Story at shortstop. That lineup, 1 through 9, you can make the argument that there is something there. The only, you could say 1 through 8 if you're fully out on Trevor Story, which, I mean, I said June 1st was going to be my borderline date. It's May 26th. I am pretty much all the way out on him outside of against left-handed pitching. But right there, 1 through 9, like, that's a competent lineup. It's not as good of a defensive team as you had maybe on opening day. Obviously, it doesn't have Bregman at third base. It doesn't have Sadon Rafael in left field. But that team is not going to put up 4 runs in 3 days.
No. And, like, on paper, it's so Rafi's not playing first base. That I think that ship is completely sailed.
I think it has two, but it's bullshit to me. It's bullshit.
That, and it sucked because you had this really perfect spot here where Campbell was learning first base. The second he's kind of mastered that craft, he slides over there, and then you have Story go to second, Marcelo to short, Bregman at third, and like you have this nice little like infield there. And right now, you're just kind of like shit out of luck, man. It's Christian, like, obviously keep working at first base.
But why? Actually, why though? Why are we still working Campbell at first base? I was thinking about this today.
For when Bregman comes back.
Okay, because I was legitimately trying to think of now why is that a thing still? Because
yeah,
right, well, it's because, for when Bregman comes back. Yeah. Because it's not Christian Campbell going from second to first doesn't open up a door for Roman Anthony or Masataki Yoshida. It just opens a door for an infielder. Who, I guess if you wanted Vaughn Grissom up here, that's what that could do. But I don't think Vaughn Grissom has played well enough in AAA to warrant that kind of maneuver.
Yeah, I think, and the good thing, I guess you can call it a good thing, is Christian now has, you know, the next 40 games or so to really, like, hone in on first. So then that way, when Bregman does come back, he's worked there for, at that point, you know, a month and a half. He slides right over there. I guess Story has a job for now. Marcelo goes to short. Like, it works itself out. None of that matters if you play shit baseball for the next 40 games. It doesn't matter.
Well, that's the key. It's all about treading water until the trade. Because, like, trade deadline changes things, too. Like, the broadcast today was floating out the idea of the Red Sox trading for Rhys Hoskins, which I agree. Rhys Hoskins, what do the Red Sox need? They need a first baseman, and they need a cleanup hitter. And he's both of those things, and he's played really well. And, yeah, great. Would love that. I think he'd be a great fit. But to your point, does not mean shit if they get to the trade deadline and they're 5 games out of a wild card berth, or maybe even more if they continue to flounder. Like, it's 2.5 right now, and we're only just starting to see what the world without Alex Bregman looks like. Like, I was thinking about this today. Like, how many times in our group chat this year did we text each other saying, oh my God, where would this team be without Alex Bregman?
Yeah.
Like, get ready, buddy. We're about to fucking find out. We've had a few games of it, and it hasn't been pretty. Like, how is that team going to get to the trade deadline afloat to then put themselves in a position to get a Rhys Hoskins traded over, to get Alex Bregman back and be close enough to a wild card berth where you could reasonably go on a win streak and get there? Joe?
I do kind of want to be a little bit of an optimist in this scenario, because I think they can tread water. But the lineup has to produce with runners in scoring position, because they've been able to get the hits. They just can't get them with guys on base. And I don't know if that's a simple fix or not, but it feels like that is, at least from the lineup side of things, because guys can get hits. It's just they can't get them when there are runners in scoring position. I don't have the number right in front
Joe,
of me.
Joe, stay here for a second.
Like, I've, like, I've 2 for 80 or whatever.
Stay right here for a second. I have a question for both of you guys, because the runners in scoring position thing, like, We can talk about injuries and the way the lineup looks right now, but this lineup at its full strength was not producing with runners in scoring position, was striking out and not playing fundamental baseball, getting runners from second to third and getting them in. They weren't playing baseball that way. Do you guys put, because I know exactly what Sammy would say to this, and generally I say the same thing as him, which is I don't like pointing the finger at coaches when I don't exactly know. Like, we can't confidently tell you who's to blame, because we don't sit there in the room and see what the game plan is, see what hitters meetings are like. We just see what the product is on the field. But to your point, Joe, they haven't produced with runners in scoring position. Doesn't matter what iteration of the lineup is out there. Do you point the finger at the coaching staff for that?
Yeah, I do.
You do, Pat.
And I say that, and this is like a relatively like new development, obviously, since Bregman went down. But you have, I would say, we'll call it two consistent hitters in Duran and Devers. Willier's great. I wouldn't call him consistent. That being said, you don't have a lot of thump in the lineup right now. You have Devers. You have like the extra base potential of Duran, but it's like he's going yard. He's not going to produce runs with one swing of the bat, being as, you know, him scoring himself. You have to shift in philosophy. You have to play small ball. You have to get runs when you can. And right now they're trusting guys to go up there and drive runs in. They've lost the benefit of the doubt if their name's not Rafael Devers and Jarren Durant. Like the Sedan thing the other day, you missed a sign, didn't miss a sign, whatever. He swung at the first pitch. You cannot do that when your offense is not scoring runs. You have to bunt guys. You have to do hit runs. You have to steal bases. And yeah, I think a lot of that kind of stems from the game plan. And again, you know, the whole Bregman development is you know, new. It's relatively a new development. It's been a couple of games. But Bregman kind of was like, him and Devers accounted for like 60, 70% of your offense. Like
Bregman was also one of the only guys not striking out.
Yes, like you lost that. So now you have to kind of play, it sucks, but you have to play Guardians baseball. Like you have to play smart, small ball, get runs when you can. And it does fall on the coaching staff. It does. And I like Fatsy. I like Cora. I like Tech. But you have to know what you have. And you have to know what maximizes what you have. And right now it's small ball. You have to get runs.
Joe, are you at the point where you're placing blame on the coaching staff? Or are you not there yet?
I mean, I'm really indecisive. I would say like I'm very, very close if I'm not already there.
I think it's fair to be indecisive on this thing too, by the way.
Yeah, I think
a lot of people are very, very quick to blame coaching staffs for things they have zero knowledge about. So I would understand, like, because you're just, first of all, on this show, I'm never going to be the guy that calls for people's jobs, although I will say that if the Red Sox season continues this way, people will lose their jobs over it. I'm not going to sit here and say, fire this guy. And I'm never going to put that on Twitter that this ex coach, whatever, should be fired. But I mean, at a certain point, they have fired coaches in the past for issues with the infield defense. Like at a certain point in time, does that happen with the hitting staff? And it's going to be tough to judge because at this point we've seen the lineups out there. Like they're shit lineups. You have the guy who was supposed to be your backup catcher and not really an offense guy who told us to our faces that he's not an offense first guy. And he's hitting third and fourth for you.
Yeah.
Right. I think the big thing that Pat had mentioned is what I said earlier, where it seems like Cora's kind of like going, not saying he's like not telling them what to do, but he's kind of trusting them to make the right decisions, like in an at bat, you know, going back to the Sedan thing where they've had to tell him multiple times, like, do not swing at the first pitch or start bunting at this pitch. And we've seen Cora animated about how upset he was that the signals got crossed when I think there was like a Hamilton stolen base or whatever. So there is that portion that has me sort of leaning to go against the coaching staff or whoever's behind all of that, the development or whatever. But like you said, Gordo, we're in a 10,000 point of view. We're not in the clubhouse every single day. We don't know exactly what their philosophy is.
I think one thing that, and I'm not saying I'm not an idiot, I'm not saying fire Alex Cora. I do think his philosophy only gets him so far. I am sick and tired of them going like 4-6 and 10 game stretches. It's not a must win game, but games that like you kind of need the momentum and he's giving guys like days off or like, it's just, I want like
that. Crochet from last week.
Well, yeah.
Hold on.
Yeah.
What was that?
Pat, the thing is, I would not call this an Alex Cora philosophy just because we've seen the other end of that spectrum. I think it was 2 years ago. We saw them, it was 2 years ago because it was the year they had Justin Turner and Adam Duvall. And the whole conversation was, are they going to buy or are they going to sell? And Cora ran the bullpen into the ground to make sure that they got to that trade deadline in a position where they could justify buying. And we saw where – so it's, if you don't have enough depth in the bullpen, in the rotation, wherever, whether it catches up with you now because you're giving guys rest days now, or it catches up with you later because you're doing what you need to do to stay afloat today, it is going to catch up with you at some point.
Yes. Yes. I understand that part of it. It just feels like there's no sense of urgency from Core right now.
I think there's more than he's letting on.
Yeah,
thing didn't feel like it came from him. Like that felt like it was like an above his head thing, like, hey, like this is what we're doing with him and like figure it the fuck out. And he's like, fuck, okay.
Yeah. And I think I'm not saying, you know, manage every game like game 7 of the World Series. I was just bitching and moaning about how Slayton, Chapman, and Whitlock are gonna be burned to the ground.
Right.
Not that. What I'm saying is like, and again, like some of this stuff is like out of his control. It's not like Alex Cora is single-handedly not calling up Roman Anthony. It's not that at all, obviously. That being said, you have to maximize, like you have to get some form of momentum going. And right now, as crazy as it sounds, it's benching Trevor Story and having David Hamilton in there because he gives you some form of decent offense in the same exact defense.
Platoon those guys. And another thing you could do is if you find a third base option you like, Marcelo Meyer can be your shortstop and you can platoon those guys at second base.
Yeah.
Like you've got to, and I'm not sitting here saying you got to throw a bunch of shit at the wall and just pray. Cause like, we don't need to be there, but like there's reasonable moves that this team could make. And it obviously starts with calling up Roman Anthony. And by the way, like we're screaming, call up Roman Anthony, call up Roman Anthony. They finally called up Marcelo Meyer, and we haven't even really talked about it at all here because the team is in such dire straits here. Like they called up Marcelo Meyer to replace Alex Bregman, and Marcelo has looked good. And obviously the first game was the first game. We were there at the ballpark for that whole crazy scene, and like, yeah, it's going to be a lot making your debut in the way that he did it. But now in a couple games since, he's looked really good, and I think he's going to be a good player. He's going to go through struggles as a rookie. That just happens. But obviously this is a kid who we think is going to be a star in this league, and whether it happens right away or not, like I think he's going to get to that point. But it's like they say that they don't want to call up Marcelo Meyer and Roman Anthony to be saviors. But the situations that they have created for themselves to have these guys called up, like Marcelo wasn't getting called up unless an injury forced that call up. And the Costas injury did force it. They just had to teach Christian Campbell first base first. The Bregman injury forced it to happen instantly. With Anthony, the way they're treating it is, yeah, once one of the outfielders goes down. But again, now it's not even like a save us due to underperformance. It's save us due to underperformance and our players are getting hurt. Like it is putting an impossible load on these guys' shoulders, which poses the question, why could you have not called them up earlier on, especially Roman Anthony, who had time in AAA last year? Like Marcelo, I would have understood waiting on. His only time in AAA has been this year. With Roman, he had it last year. He had more AAA time than Christian Campbell, and he's had more time in the minors than Christian Campbell, and they called Campbell up for opening day. So to me, it's like, if you've got that guy in AAA and there's a guy on the MLB roster that is not a major league hitter, and I've been saying this for a long time, obviously I wasn't saying it quite as loudly when Sadon was on his hot streak, and like obviously I'm not going to call for the Red Sox to bench a guy or option a guy when he's hitting 340 over a 2-week span, but the overall the majority of the data tells us what it tells us about this guy. Not saying he's a bench player in the league, but I just think he's the fourth best outfielder they have right now.
Yeah, and I think the big thing too is you can't really justify it anymore, right? If they had met expectations and they were, you know, 5-6 games over 500 right now, you're like, yeah, they got a good thing going on. Like they're doing fine. Like you don't need. That's not at all how this is shaken out. You're now at the point where you need to put the best roster and the best lineup on the field that you can. And that involves Roman Anthony. And like, it's going to involve a tough conversation with Sadon. And it sucks because the team has put themselves in this position. And Gordo, like you said, it's not necessarily Roman to be the savior. It's just like, we're down bad. We just need you to be you kind of thing. Like, he's not going to step in and be the co-star with Bregman and Devers. But at the same time, you do need him more than you kind of planned, which sucks. But hey, you put yourself in this situation.
Yeah. And this whole situation just sucks so much because I feel like in previous years, there was an obvious bottleneck where it was like, okay, the Red Sox have a lot of young talent. They've got a good manager. They've got X, Y, and Z. But the one thing they don't have is veterans on this team that are good quality baseball players because the front office didn't or couldn't spend any money because ownership didn't want them spending any money. And obviously this year they fixed that. I think the biggest frustration to me is like, I want to just like point the finger at John Henry. Like we always do, but you can't because he did everything right. This off, like he traded, he greenlit a trade for Crochet and extended him. He paid Alex Bregman. He paid Walker Buehler. And this goes for the front office too. Like all these moves, like Crochet has worked well. Bregman obviously got hurt, but until that point, he was great. Like that was a hit. Buehler has looked good. Narvaez has been a godsend. Aroldis Chapman has been their best relief pitcher. Every single move that they made this offseason has worked, which is why I have – and like, yes, they handled the Devers situation like absolute shit. They fucked that up so royally. I will not give them a pass there. But I find – like I cannot sit here and say this is all Craig Breslow's fault. This is all the front office's fault. This is all John Henry's fault when everything that they did tangibly – you can point to and evaluate. How did this work? How did this go? How did this go? This year, it all worked. So I do think that that's the biggest reason you see a lot of the fire Cora stuff. I think Alex Cora is too good of a baseball mind and too good of a manager, too good of a manager of personalities and baseball players. You're not going to get me off the Cora boat until I see something that has me off the boat. I just haven't seen it. It always goes back to the players on the field, and now it sucks because they're hurt and it doesn't look like they have enough talent to make it, but I hope.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
I'm wrong. Pat, you have one more Roman Anthony note before we get to Nuff Said?
Yeah, it's a quick one. It's just more of like a timeline thing. One thing that is not, I don't want to say talked about enough, but like a reality of it is, Willier, Sedan, and Jaren are all under team control. You're going to have to make the decision in regard to Roman at some point.
Yep.
There's no need in delaying it.
Yep.
We're at the point, there's no need. Because, sure, whatever. If you really hate Roman, you really don't want him to get that year of service time, you keep him. This won't happen, but hypothetically, you keep him in the minors all year long. It's the same decision 6 months from now. You make it now. You have to.
Yeah, and I think so many people, myself included, will point to it's hard to, because the decision could be benching or optioning a guy. The decision could also be trading a guy. And
yeah.
And I've preached to the choir on this several times that, yeah, it's really hard to make trades in May and in June too. It's very hard to get teams to trade good big league caliber players. But if you're given good big league caliber players and it fits in a need of another team, then maybe they'll listen. And if you can get a starting pitcher who can give you six innings to start and you trade Sadon and maybe a couple other prospects, like, yeah, that opens the door for Roman Anthony. By all means, like those avenues should be being explored. I've been on that train about selling high on Sedan when he was hot. Obviously, he's no longer hot, and it's to the eye of the beholder how you evaluate the value of that contract. I think some people go back and forth. To me, I would offload it if a team is willing to do it, but that's just me. Pat, do you have any enough studs before we get on out of here?
I do. Joe, I sent it to you on Twitter. We had an absolutely electric moment go down while we were recording. Thank you, Joe. This is a picture of Jeopardy from tonight. It's something many of us use every day to unlock things online in the nickname of Red Sox prospect Yasnixon Garcia.
Wow.
And the answer was, of course, the password. Miles, wow. What is a password? That is sick. That is sweet.
How is fucking Yasnixon Garcia used in a Jeopardy question? That's crazy.
That's sick.
Dude just got promoted to AAA. He's not even close to the bigs.
Gordo, we were on the field with Ken Jennings last year.
That's true. Ken Jennings loves Red Sox baseball, even though he's a Mariners fan.
Ah. I wonder if he wrote that himself. But that was sick. I thought that was crazy.
Cool. Very cool.
How cool? How much of a rush is it when you either get a question right on Jeopardy or if like a famous person you know is like a Jeopardy answer or something like that? I would imagine like all celebrities who are like answers on Jeopardy have to be like, okay, I made it.
Oh, yeah.
I made it.
Yeah. It'd be pretty cool.
Pat, but guess like, who sucks at Jeopardy? Guess who cannot get a single question right when watching Jeopardy?
You.
Me. I fucking suck at Jeopardy.
Yeah.
Awful. I'm an embarrassment.
Yeah, color me shocked.
The guy, we still have to play. We still need to get Cooper Board.
Regular Jeopardy or pop culture Jeopardy?
Anything, dude. I know nothing. The truth is, I know nothing about anything besides baseball. So,
oh, dude. Any like, if Gordo played Trivial Pursuit, his brain would turn to pudding.
Brutal, dude. Yeah, we still need Cooper Boardman on here so we can see who knows less about movies. Pat, you can like MC the whole thing. And
yeah, that'll be. We should do that in the off season when things are slow. We should just do like, are you smarter than a fifth grader? But it's just pop culture references. It's you and Cooper Boardman.
Yeah. All right. My enough said, the only way I would want to end this show is one more Red Sox. I'm looking at you. We deserve the City Connect care package. We do.
Oh,
and
yeah.
If you want to get this team to go on one of those 10 game win streaks that Alex Cora is talking about, my DMs are open. I've got these guys' addresses. We'll be at the ballpark. Hook the boys up. You want a 10-game win streak? Hook the boys up with the City Connect gear. I'm counting on you, Red Sox.
Yeah.
You see this one quicker, you or Rich Keefe?
Well, Rich Keefe is being very clever. I like what he's doing because he's putting the pressure on. Like he's putting the pressure on, and I respect it. But at we're the freaking Red Sox podcast of the official radio station that airs the games. And we watch every single game. We go to the ballpark all the time. We talk about all the game. We go on this podcast 3 times a week. Like, come on, man.
This is on the Gordo train. You used our audio to announce the Crochet extension. We deserve some goddamn City Connect swag.
Yeah, come on. Like, seriously. Like, I joke, but also, like, come on. I am a little hurt. I am a little hurt that they didn't.
You see this sweet hat? Yeah, I bought this myself. Thanks a lot, Red Sox.
So yeah, hurting us in more ways than one. But yeah, it's been a solid vent sesh. I don't think it'll be our last. I'm very nervous about the immediate future, and I really don't know how they're going to get through it. I hope that they figure out a way to get hot. I really liked Rob Refsnyder's quotes after the game, talking about like, "Hey, we suck and we need to figure this shit out." But you know, it's one thing to talk about; it's another to do it. He has not been part of the problem. He's played great, so shout out to him for doing that. And I trust me, I know that the guys on the field are pissed too. Like, I know they're trying and they're working, but it's kind of put up or shut up time here. Like, we're a ways into this thing, and if you don't get your shit together fast, like, you're going to start seeing guys leaving that room. So please, just for the love of God, again, we put so much time and energy into this. It literally kills us to not have a winning team when we counted on one this year. So
can I leave a very dark thought for people just to stew on until next episode?
Do it.
There is a chance that by the time Alex Bregman gets back, they are so far out of it, they actually trade Alex Bregman.
And that'll do it for episode 216 of Playtesty. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Remember, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Rate 5 stars. Subscribe to WEI on YouTube. You can find all of our episodes on the Playtesty playlist there. Hit the thumbs up on the videos and follow us on all the social accounts at Playtesty on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. For Pat, for Joe producing, it is Gordo here for episode 216 of Playtesty. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Fingers crossed for some wins coming up. Like, seriously, the fingers could not be crossed tighter. Thanks for tuning into this one. Peace.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.